Entrepreneurs Podcast, sharing experiences, providing insight, and looking for solutions to become better hunters. Whether you're chasing bugles over the next ridge, sitting a stand out east, this is about passion, pursuing our dreams of field, our lifestyle, the betterment of self and community, the enlightenment that comes from those moments spent in God's creation. Through these conversations, I hope you find insight, inspiration, education, and motivation to push beyond your limits. Red light it. So sitting here with Mr. John Stallone, Dan Gates in the Howl booth at Hunt Expo 24. Is it 24?
It's 24.
The older I get, the harder that gets to remember.
How are
Pleasure
you, sir?
To finally shake your hand, sir.
You bet.
You know, we've been kind of going back and forth on, you know, emails, talk to the rest of the team in the at the Denver ISC, and really wanted to sit down and talk. And the fight that we're in right now, and I'm going to try not to get too fired up and emotional, but the fight we're in right now has been unbelievable. It's been unbelievable to watch. The part that drives me crazy, and if you guys disagree, John, chime in at any point, is inaction by our demographic until it's too late, right? And I've been preaching that. John and I sat down for the first time, I think that was 2019, 2020 here, and kind of had these conversations, right? And it's frustrating to watch that inaction or the minor inputs and no action, right? Financial input is great, but we're at a point, in my opinion, where we have to escalate every bit of that from the finance we're putting in as sportsmen and women and the amount of time and impact that we're having as individual sportsmen and women. So I want to start talking about that, where you stand on that, and then really look at what Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management is doing. And it's not just for Coloradans.
Exactly.
As Howl is not just for Californians, Coloradans,
right.
Minnesotans, right?
That's been one of the hardest things. I've talked to, I don't know how many people here, and they're like, where are you guys out of? And I'm like, hold on a second. Yeah, one of the biggest problems we've seen, like I don't know how many people I've talked to in the last couple of days, is, you know, they ask you, oh, where are you out of? And they don't have a concept that you can go across state lines, that you can, you know, be there for your fellow hunter. And, you know, it's having those conversations. Hey, yes, you know, some of it might just be financial. Some of it, your voice works across state lines because we're all in the same boat. And I'm drawing those lines. I'm helping to draw those lines and connect the dots of why we're all in the same boat, why it affects, you know, if you're a mountain lion hunter in Colorado, why it affects a guy who hunts gators and Florida, you know, so
yeah, let's that was John for the folks that are listening on audio and don't have the visual, but, and again, John, chime in at any point, but with Dan, I'd like to hear from you, you know, in terms of that inactivity on sportsmen. I mean, why now do we need to wake up and come together as a demographic and understand what John is talking about in terms of that impact and how holistic it needs to be?
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to say thanks for the opportunity, you coming over here. I mean, it's been a busy show, trying to get the message out on a variety of different levels. Everybody has their own little shtick that they deal with. But Colorado, because it's in the center of the country, for one, you have to travel through it for a lot of different reasons. A lot of people might go to California, but they don't have to travel through California unless they're flying through. It's not unless you have a boat on the other side.
Right.
People understand what Colorado stands for. They understand that maybe since they were a kid, they wanted to go to Colorado to hunt. They wanted to go to Colorado to fish. Maybe it's mountain bike. Maybe it's climb mountains. Maybe it's just go skiing in the wintertime. Most people that I know that I'm dealing with over the course of the last 35 years strive to try to go to Colorado and hunt mule deer or elk or bighorn sheep if they're so lucky to be able to get one of those non-resident tags. I think that in itself puts a sense of urgency, but it also is a realization because we become so much on a national level for people to understand what is happening in the West. Colorado is the epicenter. The political landscape, the agenda-driven extremism. It's not just about wildlife and conservation. It's about agriculture. Yeah. It's about land use. It's about renewable energy. The agendas that come down, maybe those are good things in small increments to make some things better. But until those solutions that have been proven, there's not much that you can turn around and capitalize on except for what's already been proven. We've got, in wildlife management, the North American model of wildlife conservation, we've got responsible wildlife management. That's our mission for CRWM. I know that there can be improvements on the landscape. There could be adaptiveness because of the growing human population. And maybe there's some climate change in there. And maybe there's some land use issues. Maybe there's just a loss of habitat. Everybody has their own particular issues in every state that they have to deal with. But in Colorado, it's become more politically driven, more motivated by extremist groups that are trying to change and alter the course of action that is a proven track on how we are doing what we are doing. And we learn from our experiences of the past, but also trying to build something for the future. The animal rights extremists, they don't have a future. Their future is all of us off the landscape. We don't use it. We don't consume it. We don't take advantage of the resources that are given in a stewardship-like manner. They don't want you to do anything with it. That's their solution. They don't want to make it better. They just want to turn around and make it better in their ideologies, right, their mindset.
Right.
And I think that's where we have to figure out, you know, if we're going to put a line in the sand, if we're going to put a flag in the ground and say no more. Other states have these similar issues, but not to the magnitude of what we got. I mean, how many people that you know that want to turn around and go to Arkansas or New Hampshire? There's people that do, but Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, New Mexico, Utah, Arizona, that seems to be the pathfinder mentality. We need to go there. We need to see what we haven't seen before. They think they're going to come across this vast landscape of wildlife and resources and beauty. We have all that. But the extremist agenda?
They don't want you using any.
They don't want you to use any of it.
Well, what's funny is when we talk about the encroachment aspect of it, right? They're okay with expanding.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's like, well, why don't you look at the bigger impact that has in every mountain community? I mean, look at places like Aspen, right? I mean, that's, as a crow flies, 50 so miles from my house. Look at the expansion there, right? I mean, ranches, 35 acres, 400 million. I don't know how much they are, right? It's way out of my price range. But they're not talking about that.
No.
If you look at the Roaring Fork Valley and that winter range, right, for our herds, where?
Exactly.
But no one's looking at what that winter range looks like. But let's stop us in areas that have limited tag, limited opportunity, plenty of animals, right? It's mind-boggling. And what's scary for me is coming from California, coming to Colorado because I love it. I hunt it every single year. I'm going to be a resident. I'm going to live here. I want elk in the backyard. I want deer in the backyard. And then it's a get blown out because now what was there is now walking right into Colorado.
Yep.
And I'm heartbroken. You know, I'm looking at my wife going, we may have to move again.
Yeah.
And it was like,
that's scary.
No one.
Unfortunately, that's not even the solution though. Cause I see that. And obviously I live in Arizona. No offense to you, but I drive a truck that has a sticker on the back that says don't California my Arizona,
right?
You know,
right.
But it's talking to the politics, but the problem is you leave one place because you don't like where the politics are going, and you go to another, and eventually they're going to catch up with you. So it's stay and fight, stay where you want to be, and start promoting your lifestyle, start promoting what means to, so that. It doesn't go away.
In my defense, I have max points in California. Elk is my animal, right? And I'll see it when I'm 78 years old,
you know?
But I get what John's saying, right? Is stay and fight. And you got to fight from wherever you're at, right? I mean, at this point, I can't just fight for California, right? And honestly, until they started this, I don't think anybody realized until how that, hey, you can cross state lines.
Nope.
Well, we cross state lines on license applications. We cross state lines on home ownership. We cross state lines on vacations and skiing trips.
Yep.
We need to cross state lines on issues that directly affect what our beliefs are.
Yes, sir.
Even though we might not be able to vote in a state, we could turn around and have influence in that state to support the activities and the endeavors and the aspirations of what we'd like to do in our home state. We could cross that state. Whether you live in Wyoming and something's happening in Michigan because you'd like to whitetail hunt in Michigan, or whether you live in Kansas and something's going on in Colorado. We have to figure out a way to better mechanize our army for messaging, for continuity, for consistency, for funding, because that's what the opposition does. They do it collectively within the boundaries of North America.
Why are we so slow on that uptick? Right. And we've had this conversation. Mike Castillo and I have had this conversation. Charles and I have had this conversation. Why is the sportsman's community so slow on that uptick when we've seen this for decades, right? From the opposition.
Yeah.
And they have rallied, built, learned, And we have been on our heels for the last three, 4 decades.
Well, I look, people enjoy outdoor recreation. They think it's a right, not a privilege. They don't think that they should have to fight for something to be able to go and do avocationally or recreate for.
Yes.
I mean, who the hell turns around and wants to be a lobbyist for the ski industry?
Right.
So they want to go ski. There's lobbyists that do that. We have lobbyists on our side that do things for conservation and wildlife. The difference is that most of our guys are so in tune with the preparation of the hunt, the preparation of the fishing trip, the preparation of how many points do you have? What am I going to apply for? What species? What area? Where am I going to go? This is that. I mean, God forbid if somebody turned around and drew 5 tags at the same time in the Western United States, I don't know what they do besides blow their brains out because right. What they looked for so many years to be able to do that.
Yeah.
The animal rights extremists, their job is to take everything away from us and take us off the landscape 365 days out of the year. Most of our guys are looking to hunt 5 or 7 or 20 or 30 days, and they fish and they scout and they do the rest of the stuff, but it's not a job. If they treat it like a job.
But that's my point.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? You're not going to have those months of preparations. You're not going to be able to call the buddies and get the checklist and look through this unit and crowding in this unit and calf production in these. That is all non-existent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we don't dedicate 3 hours. I mean, what do you think?
Right.
What is a healthy number? I'm sorry if I get fired up.
No, you're not.
What? This is on my podcast.
Give me eight
you
hours.
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
if it was on mine, you could say whatever you want.
If every sportsman gave 8 hours a year to the fight, I'm not talking about banquets, I'm not talking about fundraisers, I'm not talking about conventions and shows.
To the fight.
If every sportsman gave 8 hours a year to the fight, to go to the Capitol, to go to their legislature, to do something with the decision makers, the Parks and Wildlife Commission, if they gave 8 hours, that's 1 day or 2 half days or 4 2-hour days or whatever, we would be undeniably the most formidable individuals in North America when it came to promoting our cause, protecting the North American model, enhancing stewardship and wildlife management.
100%.
1 day, 8 hours.
Not even a whole day.
No.
Not even a whole day.
We would kick ass.
You can literally, I mean, hunters will spend 36 hours poring over a map to figure out where to hang a tree stand.
36?
Yeah, I'm just...
I mean, look at it over the time. If you look at a group of guys that put together an elk camp for 10 days in September, right?
Yeah.
They're setting up a camp and it's taken them 2.5 fucking days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy because when Charles started this, we were in the fight and I get so frustrated and I look around and I see the impact that they have had or the impact they could have. And I get so frustrated. I put my hands up and I go silent and I'll send my checks in and I don't look for the pat on the back bullshit. And that's a lot of it. I'm sorry. I'm just calling it out because I'm fired up now. The pat on the back bullshit from folks that say, oh, I supported Hal. I don't care if Charles or John or Mike knows that we're sending a check or you guys know that I'm sending a check. And then I'm watching guys. I'm like, hey, no one's heard of Hal. No one's heard of Blood Origins. Not no one.
I understand what you're saying.
Right? You know what I mean? And it's like,
it's a small portion of, we're 16 million in the United States. Could you imagine just if you look at Cal specifically, right? Dude. We've been able to move mountains with a few thousand people. You're talking about that time frame, the 8 hours. It takes a minute to fill out one of our actions?
But it takes a minute to do that. But it takes them 8, 12, 15, 20 hours to look at all the applications to be able to where to go, what to do, how to do this.
That's what I'm saying.
And dissect all the information and data that's been compiled and the statistics and the analytics and stuff. I'm like, you spent more time doing that than you did actually hunting, for crying out loud.
Yes.
Yeah. Just give me 8 hours.
Yeah.
Just give me 8 hours to help us turn around and go to the meetings and do all the other stuff. Write the letters. Turn around and meet your congressman. You want to talk about inaction?
Yes.
Ask how many people on this or any other podcast. Who knows what district they live in,
right?
Who their congressman is, who their senator is, who their representative is. That's not calling anybody out. It's saying that's why we lose at so many levels, because all of our opposition knows who all those people are and what district they represent and how many sportsmen or women are in those different districts. I'm not saying we have to be Rhodes Scholars on all of this, but we have to pay attention to our own home state.
Just enough information to be dangerous.
Exactly.
That's it.
So when you make a phone call and you talk to your legislator as a constituent, you say, I'm a sportsman. I'm really concerned about this issue. It affects me and my family dramatically. It affects the conservation of wildlife and the ability for our state to be able to do what's best for the entire state. They pay attention to that. But if you don't even know who the hell to call, how are you going to make that happen?
Right. Right. And for me, right, it's there's another element of it is non-residents are pretty inactive. Well, I can't have an impact. I can't have an impact in a state.
I think that's an ignorance thing or not. That's they're naive. They don't understand or they don't know that they could.
Well, it's not even that they don't know. It's that they're not even willing to try.
Yeah.
But right? And let me correct you, guy. I believed that. But with as much as I play on the landscape in the Colorado politics side of things, especially when it comes to management, regulation, administration side of things, there's been a little bit of an infuriating process from the non-resident because they don't feel like they're included in some of these conversations. We've gotten donations on this specific issue here from 50 states now. Every day, we'll get donations in 63 people, 57 of them are non-residents, 44 people, 39 are non-residents. Yep. They're paying attention because they say, well, I go there. I hunt.
That's the
important. I can't vote there,
right?
But I could turn around and help you guys get the vote there. Right. That's where they're starting to engage in, and activate. And I gotta tell you a quick story that a couple times over the course of the last 6 weeks of women coming up to me saying that I'm the demon in the family because now their husband wants to turn around and go testify, wants to activate, wants to motivate, wants to engage, wants to turn around. And they're like, they're consumed with the message that you're trying to promote because you're inspirational enough to say, we have to act. Well, I don't know whether that's going to be enough to get 300,000 or a million, but it's getting little segments here and little segments there. Excellent. And it's those guys that can be the ambassadors to create a movement that maybe we just had, you know, sitting on our doorstep for so long that we didn't realize how to take advantage of it until a catastrophic issue comes along about banning the harvest of mountain lions and bobcats. But more than that, it's the way that it's worded that other people can associate with. I don't have mountain lions and bobcats in Illinois, and I don't have to worry about that. But then they start reading it, and they're going, all you got to do is take mountain lions and bobcats out. That could be any species, and it could be any method of take. It could be any season. It could be any tools that could be utilized. And you sit and go, maybe I start paying attention to what's going on somewhere else because it'd be really easy for them to come here with that same language because they were successful somewhere else.
That's all they've ever done, right, is they set that precedent somewhere else, right? If they fail, they learned a lesson.
Right.
If they succeed, they got it in the bag.
Right.
Right. And just giving credit where credit is due, they are GD good at what they do.
Yep.
There is no shortage of brain power. And I think that's where we fall on our faces a little bit is we assume that they're left wing whack jobs, don't know nothing. Oh, right.
No, but
and that is not the case.
They're way more organized than we are. They are in lockstep with everything. Where we're not organized, very segmented. Yeah. We're all, you said it beautifully on when you did my podcast with me, like, you know, we identify ourselves as whatever we do. We don't walk in and say, hey, we're an outdoorsman or hey, we're a sportsman.
Right.
We walk in, oh, I'm a bow hunter. I'm an elk hunter. I'm a deer hunter. Yeah. I'm this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really translates to what we're trying to do here because everybody's like, oh, well, I don't, you know. You know, I think hunters and anglers have this like mentality, you know, you don't impose your lifestyle on me. I won't impose my lifestyle on you.
I just want to do what I want to do.
I just want to do what
and
I want to do.
That's respectful. Yeah. I love that. That's me.
Me too. But at the same time, you got to like.
Yeah, you got to grab hold of it because then that lifestyle, if it's not the lifestyle, it's the passion part of it, right? It's gone without any of this, you know? And
if we joke about this, look at the congregation that is in this building here. At the same time this is going on, then you've got Wild Turkey deal going on. You've got the Portland show, the ISC show going on. There's other things going on in regional levels. I made a joke about this in Go Hunt yesterday. How many animal activist extremist conventions are there?
Right.
None.
Why are we so broad and our net is so far and they don't need conventions to bring us together? They don't. I know they have conferences and stuff about how to turn around and rape and pillage everything they do on the conservation level. You know, but what do they do to turn around and help the cause?
Right.
Everything that we do here on the North American side of things, on the worldwide side of things of conservation, benefits either some economy, some state, some people, residents, non-residents alike, because everybody gets it. Whether you're an animal activist, whether you're a non-hunter, or whether you're a sportsman or a woman, they benefit off of conservation efforts. What the hell do the animal rights groups do to turn around and benefit everybody as a whole?
Well, not just everybody, but everything on the landscape, right?
Absolutely.
The management, the management isn't based on whether or not we like to chase mule deer or we like to chase speed goats or elk. It's based on what's on the landscape in totality and that healthy ecosystem, right? I mean, it'll in some way, shape, or form, that eludes them. And I'm not quite sure how it does that, but it eludes them, totally eludes
them. But it eludes them in the way that they want to take lifestyles, traditions, heritage, endeavors, practices, preservation, conservation. They want to take it all because I'm right and you're wrong no matter what you do.
Yeah.
They never come to the table with a solution or a recommendation. They just say, stop what you're doing.
Right.
You shouldn't do that because it's wrong. Okay, what's right? It can't be that way. Well, how should it be? It has to be different. Well, how do I make it? It can't do it like this. It's always a negative. There's never a positive to anything. It's just take it.
Well, ideology versus facts and logic, right? That's the line that we straddle with them, right? They're on the far side of that, and we're trying to go through, you know, and we want to understand their side of it to a point.
Oh, yeah.
But they never want to hear it.
No, I know.
We're to a point when there has to be some logic, reason based upon facts and data, and facts and data could be based upon some logic and reason, but facts and data are different. We all have an opinion. We all know what that is. We have, you know, I said this before. We each have a nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have two eyes and nose, two ears, one big flipping mouth. Sometimes,
yeah.
But sometimes sportsmen have not been a big enough mouth.
Right.
They haven't carried the message enough for the cause. And I want to make sure that whoever's listening to this, your audience, understands. I'm not knocking the acronym group.
We're not trying to bring people down here.
No.
We've never done that as a whole. We've never done that. We've never tried to be in opposition. We have stated time and time and time again, come to the table, right, and look for solutions together. And it's better for everyone. It's better for the landscape. But they... Have you talked to anyone from the other side?
Oh, yeah. I talked to some from the other side. Well, and in all actuality, I'll tell you, I mean, I talked to the state director for HSUS over a cup of coffee that turned into be a four-hour conversation. But her boss? No way. She wouldn't sit down with me if I was rubbed in bacon grease and she could light me on fire. I mean, there's no way, shape, or form. Some of the other adversarial groups that I work with, no, they would just soon hang me in a public square. But there's no conversation whatsoever. Some of that's because we've defeated them at every single state level. And now this is the Super Bowl for us, the ballot initiative on November 5th. We beat them at every level at the commission, every level through the state legislature. This is their other option to go, unless you had some sort of gubernatorial, you know, executive order or something that was going to be imposed, and which that's not going to happen. This is our Super Bowl. They've been defeated at every level, and we've kicked their asses 11-0. They withdrew a petition. We beat them in the Senate Ag Committee 4-1 when we were told we were going to lose 4-1. This is their next step because they think the people of Colorado are stupid, not ignorant. They think they're stupid that they can believe their lies and their fallacies and the smoke and mirror campaign that they do, the shell game, and say, we are right and all these other efforts are wrong and you need to listen to us to take away science-based wildlife management.
So let's talk about that. In the interest of time, let's just get into what's going on now because I know you guys got to go and sit with Robbie. So what can we do as Coloradans, as out-of-state residents coming to Colorado that are concerned with this? What's our action in the next 2 to 3 months to help the cause, the mission, and block this?
First and foremost, and I say this frequently, I'm not very good at begging for money. But if you want to go punch for punch, tit for tat with the enemy of the magnitude of what our enemy is, we need dollars to be able to do that. And we need dollars to be able to talk to that middle of the road target audience that we're trying to circulate our message to. It's not the pro hunter. It's not the anti hunter. It's the middle of the road guy that says, well, you know, I thought wolves were a good deal. Why aren't they a good deal? Or I thought lion hunting was a bad deal. Why isn't it a bad deal? We have to be able to talk to them in a logical, reasonable, thoughtful, science-based manner to give them the facts and the data and the statistics. That being said, we're not going to do it with three people in a circle at a convention. We need to do it in the masses, and to do it in the masses, we have to have money. We need more money now than what we ever needed because of the landscape that we have to deal in. It's a presidential election year. there's things going on that cost more money in August and September than they cost now because everybody's going to be able to want to buy advertisement.
Right.
So what we buy for $100 now is going to cost us $500 in August for the same thing. If we buy it now, it's $100. If you donate now and give us $100, we get $500 worth of advertising 5 months from now. If you wait to give me $100 then, we need five of you to turn around and do the same thing. We could get less bang for our buck. Money to be able to message. Message creates enthusiasm, success, and momentum to build up future conversations amongst people that become educated. We're not talking about making this giant campaign and trying to explain the intimacies of science-based wildlife management about models and objectives, and this is why you have cow and calf recruitment studies. Right. We're talking about leave it up to the scientists. There's 350 certified biologists and scientists within the game agency and Colorado Parks and Wildlife. I don't want the Uber driver downtown Denver making decisions on bighorn sheep on the western slope or sage grouse lex and endangered species. It's no offense to those guys. They're really good, but I don't think they want me telling them how to run their Uber route either. Right? Maybe you should go here. Well, this is what it says. I've been doing this all my life. Leave me the hell alone.
Yep.
That's what we should be doing with the rest of them. I don't want my wife's hairstylist, who's a very nice lady, does great hair. I don't want her deciding what we're doing on mountain lion management. Sure. I think that's piss poor for the resource. It's piss poor for the component that was created over 125 years ago. Educate your peers, educate your congregation, your coworkers, your neighbor. But to be able to have us do that on a broad scale, we got to have funds to be able to do it. If you know people in Colorado, turn around and talk to them. Say, did you know this was going on?
Yep.
Go to SaveTheHuntColorado.com. All the information is there for you to be able to get educated about. Initiative 91, the entire language is there. What they tried to pass through the Secretary of State and the Supreme Court, Initiative 101, it's there. The reason people should leave it and we've got it up there is not to confuse people to where they can look at it and go, they were actually that freaking lunatic minded to try to get that crap passed. That's how stupid the animal rights extremists are, is because they think that the general population of any state that they're trying to convince is stupid, not ignorant about the subject matter, stupid. We need education. We need funding. We need support. We need outreach. Besides that, we need a victory. And I think with what we're building up with guys like you and helping to carry that message, I think we're going to accomplish that. And we're going to smack somebody right in the mouth come November 5th. And we're going to say, you want to come back? You want to go to New Mexico? You want to go to Montana?
Oh, they ain't stopping. They're going to go wherever they can.
Yeah, but if we win here, they're going to think twice about what hornet's nest they raised up because they're going to think, well, I thought they were just a bunch of sleeping bastards. And they find out they were a sleeping giant.
Right.
That we have fire in our dragon, too.
Oh, yeah. We just got to get them. We got to get them motivated. You know, I mean, I try to watch what I say in case the wrong hands hear it. John reminded me of this one day on a phone call. But, I mean, 30,000, 40,000 people walk through these halls.
Yeah.
The money that's spent in here on trinkets and stuff we probably don't need.
Right.
Where can that go? Right. Where can that go?
So I said something yesterday during our Go Hunt podcast, and Lorenzo immediately bellied up to the bar. And they're kicking in $200 for every insider membership that costs $149. Somebody gets $149 insights. They're doing $200.
Wow.
You do the promo code of CRWM, and they're getting $200 back.
Okay.
The sportsman, the non-resident sportsman that applies for a license in the state of Colorado can do the same thing. They all have to buy a qualifying license to apply in the state of Colorado as a non-resident.
Mm-hmm.
It's $39 to $54, depending on what license you buy. You don't get anything for that license except for the ability to apply. Give us a $39 to a $54 donation on top of what you're already giving the state who's giving you a piece of paper. I'm not saying don't do that because you have to do it to provide the conservation effort. Help us fund the fight for conservation. You're already applying for that. You got to apply for your preference points. You got to pay for other points for a non-resident.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a little bit of a stipend to help us defeat them so we can keep fighting so those non-residents have something to hunt 5 years from now.
That's right.
Whether they hunt mountain lions or bobcats or not.
Right.
Mountain lions and bobcats are going to eat some stuff between now and 5 years from now. They're already putting wolves on the ground.
Wolves are on the ground. Moose reintroduction.
Yep.
What are we at? 3,800 moose or something like that?
Yeah, some ungodly amount of moose. And we got 15 wolves and we got 5,000 mountain lions. And you watch what happens in 5 years if we don't have any harvest of wolves or mountain lions.
We may not see moose on the landscape in 3 to 4 years.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, not that. I don't want to give the Rome is falling type deal.
Right.
But Rome is crumbling. Rome is getting to a point to where the solid foundation of Rome is not as strong as what it was.
Rome was falling at when I brought in the antelope and the mule deer and the elk. But if you know, it was funny. It's not funny, but it was funny to me leaving ISE out of Denver, and I'm driving back to the slope and I pass the billboard. Success. 3,800 moose, mm-hmm. successful reintroduction, mm-hmm. right? CPW.
Yeah.
And I'm going, shaking my head, like you just wiped that out just
yep.
about.
Yep. And I want to tell you, and I don't say it often enough, but I'm the chair of the Wildlife Council. Those are our billboards. Those are what we put up. They talk about science-based wildlife management. That's the story that needs to be told about success stories. Mm-hmm. Whether you think lynx or river otter or black-footed ferrets are success, it's all part of conservation and the North American model. Wolves are as well. The difference is that ballot-driven initiatives, not science-based initiatives.
Yes, sir. Right.
That's the difference. When we brought all those other species in, it was based upon science.
Right.
We're having a wolverine introduction bill go through the Colorado State Legislature now for reintroducing the wolverine. I don't have a problem with bringing that damn thing in. But let's do it because the scientists say that it's a good idea to do it, and it's not going to be detrimental to 961 other species of wildlife or 78 game species, that it's not going to create an endangered species problem for loggers and snowmobilers and backpackers and cross-country skiers and whoever the hell else recreates on the landscape. We need to make sure that we allow the experts to do things. And I joke about different things. I don't want the gal at McDonald's doing a vasectomy, and I don't want to...
I was just going to say that. You know, the ballot box initiative, it's like... You don't go to the freaking mechanic to go get your eyes worked on. Like you don't. It doesn't
make sense.
When you're sick, you go to the doctor. You don't go to the freaking grocery store. Like it doesn't.
Well, look at these guys walking around here. Just an analogy. They don't go to the grocery store to say, "I want to go on an elk hunt."
Yeah.
Just because they sell meat.
Right. Yeah.
You know. I mean, there has to be some common sense when it comes to conservation and science based wildlife management. I think that we have the opportunity to draw the line in the concrete. Not the sand, to where it can continually be moved. We draw the line in the concrete, and we say, okay, we're not giving up any ground. You want to try to flank us? We'll draw a line over here.
Right.
We'll get a team behind us to turn around. I look at a lot of this stuff, like, and I use a lot of sports analogies, but look at Braveheart.
Yep.
You unite the clans. Mm-hmm. You get all the people together, turn around and go the same momentum and get the same direction.
And if we get that, I don't think we have to play defense all the time. We're always talking about defense. No. I think we could actually start working towards getting some things that we lost back, or at least be able to push things like in the right direction.
Well, absolutely, right? Because then they're willing to come to the table. If you have so many victories and you've made such an impact and you've kept someone on their heels for so long, your arrogance alone is going to keep you away from the table.
Yep.
Right? Yep. You have an impact. If we have an impact, a collective impact, then we can go to the table and look at things from maybe their side, maybe some of them. Maybe we can reason with some of them.
I want to say, and we're going to have to get, because Robbie's doing his deal up there, and I don't want to cut him short because he'll probably kill me. But I do think that there's an opportunity for influencers like what you guys are and the community that's doing all the podcasts out there. If 28 million people listen to all of our stuff combined, and 2,800 people would get off their ass and say, I need to engage. And those 2,800 got another 1,400, and those 1,400 got another 700, and those 700 got another 350.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Stop and think what that would do because of what we're doing, how significant and how impacting we are on the level that we're doing it. Think if you just did that. I'm not saying we all turn around and go storm somebody's capital on Monday morning.
Right.
But get to know who your people are. Get to know who's making the decisions on your behalf. Get to let them know that you're a constituent of theirs. And then figure out who in your circle might be willing to go talk to those individuals. If you have a sportsman's day at the Capitol, go to sportsman's day at the Capitol. If you have an elk banquet, go to the elk banquet. But then ask those guys at the elk banquet, hey, what are we doing on the local landscape to try to promote what we're trying to really conserve? What are we trying to do? And I think that we would start to see in a year's time some significant motivation. What we've done in 4 months on this particular initiative has been, I don't know if it's monumental, but it's remarkable enough to where my dumbass come into a place like this and people want to take pictures, shake your hand. You inspired me. Here's a donation. What do I got to do to get involved? My, you know, the wives, I said, it's just like, now this is all he talks about. Great. Because I'm not going to be here forever. You're not going to be here forever.
No, sir.
We're not going to have the voice forever. let's take advantage of the resource that we got and figure out how we can support
and build something.
The yeah. North American model, quit letting them bastardize it. They're terrorizing it. They're turning around and trying to make it, you know, some bad atheist anti-Christ deal that's over here. You just turn around and take it away. You can't do this because it's wrong and it's evil.
Right.
Let's turn around and support what we strive to support 365 days a year, not during the application process and not during a hunting season. Let's do it far and beyond that. And what they can do in Colorado, go to SaveTheHuntColorado.com, educate yourself, donate, support HAL for Wildlife, support any of the other organizations that you want to, but just realize that it takes an army to be able to conserve our wildlife and natural resources.
100%.
A few people can't continue to do that.
Yes, sir.
And just to put an exclamation point on everything you just said, it doesn't have to be a hypothesis of what Dan just said, that if we do these things, it's going to work. I can tell you, just by being HAL for Wildlife, we've been able to move mountains with just a few people, right? A couple thousand people get involved in something, and we move the needle. And could you imagine if, like, what, there's 16 million hunters in the United States?
Hunters and anglers.
Hunters and all. 16 million hunters only. Anglers are 60 million.
Okay.
Right? I believe so.
Yes.
Or 40 million.
Yes, yeah.
Something
or
like
40
that.
Million.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I can't remember what they're
14 and a half to 16 is hunters.
It's hunters. Okay. Could you imagine if we're able to win bills, or we're able to move needles with a couple thousand people? Could you imagine if there was a few million of us doing these things?
Even if they just did the 8 hours a year,
yeah.
If that's sitting down and writing a letter to the editor, or writing your legislator, or writing to a commission,
we'd never lose another thing.
If they just would take the initiative and say, "Yeah, well, that's bad. That's happening over there, but I need to engage in that."
Yes.
That's what we need to do. We need to inspire people enough to say, "Look, we're not trying to criticize anybody. We just need your help. We just need your flipping help."
Yep.
We need your help in Colorado. We need your help in the Western United States. We need your help in every single state at some capacity. When are we going to say enough is enough? We need your help.
That's the biggest point for me, right? When is enough enough, right?
Because when they come after exactly what they want.
And where you live.
That's what happens. It's that old saying, you know, they came for California and I'm not a Californian. They came for Colorado. I'm not a Colorado. Yep. So I didn't get involved. Now they're coming for Idaho. And there's nobody left to help me, you know?
Right.
I mean, I shortened it up a shit ton, but...
Yeah.
or they're like, what's the point?
Yeah.
That's the... In my head, that's the worst ones, the what's the point, you know, folks, because they're not willing to do anything because what's the point?
Right.
You know, and that hurts me to hear it, man. It drives me bonkers.
The easiest thing that somebody can do at any level when they're a non-resident is write a letter. Second easiest thing is send a check.
Right.
Get on the website. And I think sending a check is even easier. Well, it is. All you got to do, you know, go to Save the Hunt, turn around and put the donate button. I mean, you want to do $10 a month? We got people doing that. You want to do $1,000 at once? You got people doing that.
Yep.
I know that you're on a time limit, and I appreciate the time. So I want to make sure that we get that. But do the monthly, right? Donate as much as you can up front. But please, 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 if you're listening, do the monthly, whether it's $5, whether it's $10. If you could do $1.50, I mean, honestly, $1.50 out of 14 million people month, right? That's a lot of GD money, man. And I think people think that $35 drives it home, but we're fighting a $1 billion industry with the opposition. So, you know, if you guys are listening to this, check out everything. We're going to let Dan go and get with Robbie. John, Dan, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
We will probably see you at Western Hunt Fest.
Yep.
And I'm hoping that you're going to be there too. I talked to Castile, so they'll be in Reno. I believe that you guys are going to be at least at this point, Raton Air Force Academy Cameo. Mm-hmm. So we'll have representation, you know, from the southern portion of Colorado to the western slope of Colorado. So I can't say enough how much I appreciate what you guys are doing to not just fight in Colorado, but this is a national issue. And then John knows what I think about him and HAL and, you know, the boys over there. So I appreciate you guys greatly.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Anything we can do, just let us know.
Yep. And I will continue to stand by what you guys are doing. And likewise.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.